Meisty's on the road. A bittersweet moment to be on the road for Meisty. You might want to park your car for this. You might want to pull over to the side for this one. Okay, just get, make sure you can safely pull over. Then our big announcement that we're about to make. You know, some tears might come out of Meisty and myself, to be honest. You know, this might produce some tears. Therefore, it might be safer not to drive. But fine, you know what? You'll have to restrain yourself, Meisty. But we have a big announcement to make here at the Rocky Meisty Show. This will be the last time we say welcome to the Rocky and Meisty Show, because we are going to change our name at some point this week. We'll obviously go ahead and release that on all of our social media pages, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, Spotify. We'll try to announce it there as well. But we will keep you informed, God willing. And yeah, this is going to be our last time. So you see this graphic, you see the Rocky and Meisty Show below. This is going to be the last time. So sad, bittersweet moment here at the Rocky and Meisty Show. We have built so many moments. Yeah. We built so many moments. Like, we started this podcast a bunch of years ago. Meisty and I were sitting across the table from each other. We always watch sports with each other, talk sports with each other. We said, what should we call it? We had no idea. We're like, let's just call it the Rocky and Meisty Show, because it's Rocky and Meisty talking about sports. And here we are. We want to rebrand. We want to refocus the entire podcast. We're still going to be heavy on football, maybe try to get some other sports there as well. But our main focus is going to be football, of course. And we got a great name. We got some great logos, great content coming up for you. It's a great new era for the Rocky and Meisty Show. It's certainly bittersweet. We've had a great run, but we're going to have an even better run to come. So it's exciting, Meisty, you know, but it's sad at the same time.
We love the opportunity. It's an opportunity, and we're going to run with it. So you can't pass up a beautiful opportunity.
Agreed. So, of course,
Someone asked me this weekend, how come it never was the Meisty and Rocky Show? I said, duh, that doesn't sound right.
We discussed making it the Meisty and Rocky Show, but it just never, like you said, it didn't sound right. So that's why we never made it that. But, you know, it's not because I'm arrogant or selfish that I wanted my name first. No, there's nothing to do with that. In fact, we were going back and forth in the beginning, and I was like, no, I don't want my name to be first. I feel, you know, and you're like, come on, Rocky, just put your name first. Like, you know, get over it. Like, it's not a big deal. So, of course, you know, and we've gone back and forth for weeks, even months. You know, we've been discussing changing the name and changing the brand for a while now, but we haven't really pulled the trigger till now. We found the perfect name, Meisty and Morty. I believe you guys together came up with the name, correct? So, you know, it's a great name. It's very creative. It's funny, and it's going to be great. We're going to come out with some great content. So it's exciting, certainly exciting, and we're excited to get rolling with that. So I think we're ready to get to some football here, Meisty, right? I think we're ready to...
Let's talk some football.
We have so much going on, but of course we have to talk about right away. You know, I know Jalen Ramsey was traded to the Dolphins earlier today. We're recording this on Sunday. But I want to get to the Carolina Panthers and the Chicago Bears, the trade that went down between them. Of course, just to go over the details again, the Panthers sent two second-round picks, a first-round pick, and DJ Moore, and exchanged the 9th and 1st pick with the Bears. So essentially, they gave up 2 second-round picks, a first-round pick, and DJ Moore for the Bears' number 1 overall pick. The Bears moved down 8 spots in the draft. Just 8 spots. It's not even that much to get 2 first-round picks, an additional first-round pick next year, and a guy that DJ Moore has totaled over 1,100 yards for 4 straight years before last year. The only reason he didn't have a great year last year, decent year, I think 850 yards around receiving. The only reason he didn't break out last year like he's used to is because that quarterback room in Carolina was a disaster. It was a revolving door, whether it was P.J. Walker, Baker Mayfield, so many different things, Sam Darnold. I mean, it was so many different heads there playing under center. So therefore, it was a disaster. But DJ Moore, when he's got a decent quarterback under center, man, this guy's great. So, you know, it's certainly going to be a fun prospect to see. Justin Fields finally has some weapons, traded for Chase Claypool. A little expensive with the second round pick, which proved to be the 32nd overall pick, essentially a first round pick that the Steelers got. But they have Chase Claypool, they have DJ Moore. They're going to have a lot of draft picks and a lot of salary cap to build this roster. What I wonder, Meisty, is the Bears have 3 years left on Justin Fields' contract. I don't think Justin Fields is that good. Meisty, I think that if you look at Lamar Jackson, the jump, as much as I criticize him, the jump he made from year 1 to 2 in terms of his passing ability was remarkable. He led the league in touchdown passes, as everyone likes to say. He was one of the most accurate passers in football, 6th best quarterback in the league, according to PFF that year. Justin Fields did not make that big of a leap in his second year. He was a little better, threw the ball a little more accurately, still very wild, still putting the ball in harm's way. They tapped into his rushing ability. he certainly, you know, took a big leap in terms of that. But I'm still waiting for Justin Fields to take that big leap as a passer. So that being said, yes, they have a lot of draft capital. They have a lot of salary cap as well. But are they really going to be able to build this roster before the end of Justin Fields' rookie contract? That's what concerns me, Meisty. But great trade for the Bears for now. Definitely not going to hate him for it. So those are my first thoughts.
I disagree with you on that, first of all. So you have to give Justin Fields the opportunity this year to show if he can make that jump, the same jump that Lamar Jackson made. This is the year, not one. Yeah, oh, well, Lamar did it 1-2. Okay, so this is year 3-4, whatever. Yeah, or 2-3, whatever it is for Justin Fields. But it's the same jump. If Justin Fields can make that jump, because right now they're about to give him the best offensive line they could possibly give him. They're going to give him some receivers. They're going to give him to make it happen for him. And if he can't get it done, then you're right. But guess what they can do? If he doesn't get it done, then guess what? They have enough picks. They can draft another quarterback and be like, hey, if Justin Fields doesn't work out, you're in the next guy up. So they can make moves over the next couple of years. I'm not worried about the Bears.
Yeah.
The Panthers, on the other hand, who are they going to select with the number one pick? That's what my concern is. But we'll talk about that after, because you want to talk about the Bears.
Right.
I think the Bears are in the best situation in football.
I think this was a great trade by the Bears just because they got such a haul. But Justin Fields, I'm looking at it now, 36th best passing grade in the league, according to PFF. So, you know, you take that's with quarterbacks that have a minimum of 20% of dropbacks. So 36th in the league is not good. He is not a good pocket passer. That's a 54.4 passing grade. That's horrible. That's worse than Davis Mills. That's worse than Marcus Mariota. That's worse than Mike White. That's worse than Skylar Thompson. That's worse than Tyler Huntley. It's worse than a lot. Now, he threw the ball a lot more than some of those guys, so it's not necessarily such a proof. But point being that when you map it all out, he's of the worst passing quarterbacks in the league. Of all the starting quarterbacks in the league, he's of the worst pure pocket passers. Enormously as a rusher. But is that enough? I still think I needed to see more from Justin Fields before I'm ready to say, the Bears, that's it. Give it 2 years. You'll be a Super Bowl contender. That's all.
One thing you have to gonna look up is this. How much time did he have in the pocket? He was in the bottom of the league. I don't know if he was the bottom or one of the worst in the league, but he had no time in the pocket. That's what I'm trying to say. Now they have money. They can go pay for an offensive line. They can draft a guy. They can do whatever they want for that offensive line. They put one together because they have DJ Moore. They have Chase Claypool. They have weapons already. They've come at tight end. They can build an offensive line. They can fix the defense up a little bit. They have a lot of draft capital over the next couple of years. They can make moves. Yes, this is the team. This is the guy that they can protect, and they can not get hurt. He'll be able to rush, and if he can fix his throwing ability, and if he can throw the ball, he definitely can throw the ball. He has an arm.
So, you know, DeMarcus Russell also had an arm. You know, you mentioned the protection. Obviously, it's a factor, but even Justin Fields, Justin Fields, when he's throwing from a clean pocket, is not particularly good. The few times that he is, because PFF is able to divide the plays by kept clean. They have three categories. They have two categories, kept clean, under pressure, right? When he's kept clean, numbers are not that good. It's 7 big-time throws, 7 turnover-worthy plays, 11 touchdowns, 5 interceptions, still a passing grade below 75. A passing grade below 75 is worse than a lot of quarterbacks' overall grade. So that's just not good. He's not a good passer. He's not proved yet to be a good passer at all. So where does everyone where is the thought process suddenly coming from that this man is going to be a future star in the NFL? Because he's a great running quarterback? Granted, he's a great running quarterback, but we've seen in the past that just being a great running quarterback is not enough. It's great, it's valuable, but if you don't take that next step as a passer, which he might, but he hasn't yet, if you don't take that next step as a passer, you are not going to be a star in the NFL. That's the bottom line.
Let me ask you this then. Do you think so it's not going to be with the 8th pick probably, right? But with all the picks that the Bears got over the next couple of years, are they not going to pick more quarterbacks? Every year they're going to select at least one quarterback that's going to give Justin Fields a run for his money. And that is why they're going to find their next quarterback.
So I just want to say, Meisty, you're completely dark. We could hear you great, but we can't see you so well. So just
I know. Unfortunately, it got dark outside.
Is what it is.
So
is that going to bother you driving though?
No, I'm not really driving.
Do you have a Tesla? A fake car. Driving yourself? Okay. Oh, it's like carpool karaoke. Right, yeah, so go on. Yeah, you were saying that the Bears can just pick a bunch of quarterbacks.
Bears can pick a quarterback. Let's say, wait. So they got the 20th, they got the 8th pick. What else they got? Give me another pick they got.
You want me to go through all the picks right now?
Give me any pick they got. Give me another one. Next year or this year, any pick they get.
Next year they're going to get the Panthers' first round pick, which you would assume is going to be a pretty high pick, right, no matter who they draft, because they're not going to be great. And then they have the Panthers' second round picks next year and then the year after that. So next year, if the Panthers are bad next year, if they get a top 10 pick.
Whoa, time out. First of all, I mean, the Panthers will be drafting a rookie who, obviously a quarterback, and hopefully that can bring him a couple wins. He won't have DJ Moore, but.
Remember, they traded the Ravens. They traded Roquan Smith for a second round pick from the Ravens. Remember that. So they still have that second round pick.
So there you go. Let's say in the second round, they say, we have 3 second round picks. Let's go and get a quarterback. And they can draft a quarterback. And they go, listen, if Justin Fields isn't the guy, maybe you're the guy. And then they can draft 3 of those types of guys. They have so many picks. They have all these picks they've been getting. And they have so much money, they can go and sign a guy.
I think they should. You know, I'm of the mindset that teams should keep on swinging at quarterbacks, which is why actually if the Bears kept the first overall pick, I would have suggested that they picked a quarterback even with Justin Fields. Just because quarterback is such a...
I think that's why they didn't keep the first pick.
What do you mean?
Because they didn't want to have to select. Because the top picks are quarterbacks, right? And as we've learned from the Ravens, you just take the best player on the board. So, you know, you would have to, like you said, you suggest select a quarterback. They would have to select a quarterback, which they're not trying to, right? Which they didn't want to have to do, even though that's what you're supposed to do. So you trade it away. Now you're not having to select a quarterback, and you can get away with drafting someone else.
Yeah, I understand that's why they did it. They obviously are committed to Justin Fields, and they expressed that by the fact they traded it away. I said if they would have stayed at number one, I'm not necessarily of the mindset draft the best player available. I actually like keep on swinging at quarterbacks. Look what the Cardinals did. They drafted Josh Rosen, and the very next year, even though Josh Rosen, after 1 year, you can't necessarily bring that as a proof that the man will not have a good NFL career. Despite that, they still drafted Kyler Murray number one overall. He was a can't-miss prospect. Yeah. They had to have him. Well, it doesn't matter how it pans out in hindsight. Point is that they took that chance, and I agree with taking those types of chances. Draft quarterbacks again and again and again. I have no problem with that because the discrepancy between value at the quarterback position as opposed to any other position is so big. Granted, teams are comprised of a lot of players. Quarterback is not the only important piece. Everything is important. And there are other very important players as well. Receivers are very important. But quarterback is by far the most important position. Therefore, keep on trying to swing at it. The advantage of having a good quarterback, a solid quarterback, on a rookie contract is enormous. I mean, look what the Eagles did this year. And there's a lot of proofs for that. Look at the Seahawks did 10 years ago. Same thing. When you have that quarterback that's solid on a rookie contract, you have an enormous advantage over everyone else. So keep on trying to hit on that. That's what I think. Keep on drafting quarterbacks until one pans out.
Yeah, I mean, the Cardinals should keep drafting quarterbacks. They're still looking for one.
But the Cardinals already messed themselves over because now they signed Kyler Murray to all that big money. You know? If they wouldn't have, I would have said 100%. I mean, even the Cardinals. I wouldn't. This year, they're not going to be very good. I wouldn't be against drafting quarterback again. I don't know. Maybe not. Maybe not. Maybe the Cardinals are different just because they put too much money in Kyler Murray. Sort of like the Broncos with Russell Wilson. They can't really draft a quarterback. They just put too much money in him. That's the problem. Perfect segue. That's why the Ravens shouldn't sign Lamar Jackson. Because once you do that, you're finished. You're committed. You're finished. You can't move on to another quarterback, Meisty. And that's what I've been saying all offseason. The Ravens should not sign Lamar Jackson. They should not commit to this man. He has not proved to be a consistent enough passer to take you to the promised land. That's why they haven't had much success in the playoffs, because he hasn't played particularly well in the playoffs. It's not, you know, people always love to say, well, Lamar Jackson is like 30 games over 500 as a starter, which is true, and it's great. And the Ravens can win with Lamar Jackson. It's a winning formula. He's a dynamic rusher and an up-and-down passer. But in the playoffs, you do need to put together a string of 3 games passing the ball efficiently, and he has not shown the ability to do that in 4 years. That's the problem. So let's
discuss that real quick. First of all, the Ravens are going to draft a quarterback in probably the first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, or seventh round this year. And that quarterback will probably be playing by week six. And we will find out if that is the future quarterback of the Ravens. And the Ravens might, by the way, get screwed over and not get what, you know, what Lamar Jackson's really valued at. They might get just the first round and a third round pick. But if this guy that your next draft guy, and it's not, you know, it's someone that you're like, oh, whether it's Stenson Bennett or some other guy, I don't know, right? At the end of the day, if that guy is your future quarterback, then you just dump Lamar Jackson for whatever you're going to get. You're going to get, and you just you get what you get, and you don't complain. So,
you think Lamar's not going to be a Raven come this season?
No. I think that he'll be injured by week six as a Raven. So
that's what you're saying.
Whoever the next quarterback is will get an opportunity to play. Yeah.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think he's going to be a Raven, too, just because I think other teams have caught on, Meisty. Like, everyone's getting smart now. Last year, we were talking about it in the offseason, and we more had the perspective of, well, it's Lamar Jackson. He's a unanimous MVP. We didn't, but, you know, a lot of the media did. He's a unanimous MVP. Of course the Ravens are going to sign him. And you and I were looking at each other, Meisty, and we're like, I'm not so sure if that's the case. The Ravens might not sign this guy. Like, look at the Ravens' history. It's not so simple that they're just going to invest $200 million guaranteed into this man. The Ravens are a very calculated organization. They've always been like that. For them to dump all the salary into a guy that's a question mark in terms of his injuries, question mark in terms of his pocket passing ability, is not so simple. We know the Ravens better than that, and that's what's happened. Now they're playing games. They put the non-exclusive franchise tag on him. Now another team needs to match, which it's not going to happen, and therefore the Ravens are going to have the upper hand on the contract negotiations. Quite frankly, Meisty, this was genius by the Ravens. You know, I looked at it at first and I'm like, well, I think the Ravens could have got I thought the Ravens could have gotten four first round picks for Lamar Jackson. As the offseason was progressing, I think we were starting to see that wasn't the case, that the Ravens cannot get that big of a haul. Two first round picks might be what they would have gotten anyway. Might be, maybe a little more than that. But anyway, point being, now put the pressure on Lamar Jackson. Put the pressure on the rest of the league. The rest of the league's not going to want to do the work for the Ravens. They're going to say, no, we're not going to do your heavy lifting for you. Forget it. And they're not going to sign him. And Lamar Jackson's going to be left with no market except for the Ravens. And the Ravens are going to pay him less than Lamar would have wanted. This is genius, quite frankly, Meisty. It's genius.
Okay, so let's look at it. So we're talking from the Ravens side. And me and you have only looked at it that way. But let's talk about where Lamar Jackson is, right? The Ravens are a very good football organization. They always build a very good defense. They don't have great weapons on the receiver side. They've been getting injured. Okay, fine. But the Ravens have a high-powered offense that have been able to score a lot of points over the last years. They've had a, right? It's a historic numbers, and fine. Right? Lamar Jackson, right? This year, it's a non-exclusive tag. Fine. He plays, he gets the pay, he gets a nice paycheck at the end of the year. Very nice, right? But what happens? Let's say he wins the Super Bowl this year as a Raven. There's a paycheck at the end of the year for him. Huge paycheck if he wins the Super Bowl, right?
Agreed.
If he finds a contract that he likes right now before the season starts and the Ravens match it, he makes money, or he makes money. So he's looking for a contract right now. Fine. But at the same time, he plays this year. His hope is he doesn't get hurt. That's what he has to hope for.
Yeah, but what are the odds they're going to win the Super Bowl? I mean, that's like a stretch. Like, I don't understand. If from Lamar's perspective, this is a loss for him. This is totally a loss for him. Because now what's going to happen is he's going to explore their options. The Ravens are going to let the rest of the league set the market. They're going to say, fine, you know what? You think you're worth $200 million plus, Lamar? Go out and explore it. I don't think teams are going to give them that because he's not worth that much. I've expressed that many times. Then he's going to come back to the Ravens and said, I'm going to have to settle. I have no choice. I'm not going to get the money anywhere else. So from Lamar's perspective, this is a total loss. Or he's just going to play on the tag this year and he's only going to get paid $32 million for it.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. No, that's, you have to look at it from him. The way he's looking at it is different. He's looking at it as, look, right now, I can go to all 31 teams, even the Ravens, so 32 teams, and he can negotiate with anyone for a contract right now, right?
Okay.
And then he can make money. So if no one's going to pay him, fine. But he gets a guaranteed for what he's got paid guaranteed this year.
$32 million.
$32 million. That's a nice paycheck, right? Whether he makes it through the full season, whether he gets hurt. So in his hope, he doesn't get hurt and he wins a couple playoff games, or, you know, makes the AFC Championship game, he makes the Super Bowl, he wins the Super Bowl, something. If he wins the Super Bowl, the Ravens might just have to pay him. They might just have to. And if they don't pay him, someone else will pay him.
And right? if they don't win the Super Bowl, then what happens?
Wait, hold on. Then the Ravens still have Lamar Jackson. If he doesn't get hurt and he wins, let's say, one playoff game or whatever, right? Like, where does he go, right? So where does he end up now? Yeah, you say, oh, well, if he gets hurt. Okay, so if he gets hurt, then he deals with the Ravens still have to deal with him. Or the Ravens could cut him, but then the Ravens are screwed. And he could go to a team for free on whatever price he wants. He might have to take a pay cut. He knows he's not worth the $300, $250 million. Fine. But he'll go and make sure he secures the bag this year.
Yeah, but you're looking at it from the perspective if everything pans out. If he has a successful year, if he doesn't get injured, if he wins a playoff game or two. What if he doesn't, which I think is a more likely scenario in that, let's say it's not a successful year. They don't make the playoffs. They don't win a playoff game.
The only thing that could go wrong for him is if he gets hurt.
Let's say they don't win a playoff game. Again, they don't win a playoff game. Teams look at that and they're like, well, he doesn't win a playoff game.
So that's wrong with that. Then what? Yeah, so then what? The Ravens do what? They trade him away to who? No one wants him.
So exactly. So then Lamar is screwed. He's not getting paid.
No. Hold on. No team's going to trade for him. No team wants to give up picks. But if the Ravens cut him, then he can go to any team he wants, a team that just needs to fill the seats. You bring in Lamar Jackson. You hope he stays healthy for a couple of games. You know, you try to give him more help. And, you know, whatever, if you're the Buccaneers, you're that. So, yeah, he might not be able to ever secure the big payday, but he'll always be able to find a team. The Ravens here can get screwed over if no one wants him.
If there's no trade market for him, then they don't have to pay him that much because there's no market to sign him for a lot of money. So they're not competing against anyone salary-wise. Either way, it's a win for the Ravens. Yeah, the Ravens. If there's no market for Lamar Jackson, there's no market for him both financially and in the trade market. So what's the difference? And the Ravens could just pay him for less. The Ravens have no problem signing Lamar Jackson to a smaller deal and keeping him.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. So right now, this year, $30 million he just got from the Ravens. Fine. He's the quarterback. If he gets injured, then what are the Ravens going to do? They're going to cut him. They're going to trade him for whatever they can get. Fine. He goes to another team. That team pays him very much little, but he makes more money. Now he makes another little bit, but he'll never not have a team.
He'll always have a team, we're talking about in the layman's terms. $32 million is a lot of freaking money for us, but like we know, Daniel Jones just got paid $40 million in his first year. There are like a dozen quarterbacks in the NFL making more than that per year. Lamar Jackson sees himself as the best quarterback in the league. People see him as this unanimous MVP. This man wants to be the highest paid quarterback in the league, at least top 5, at least top 10. He's nowhere near that right now with $32 million. And if this year does not pan out the way that he wants to, he will never be near that. Therefore, this is a huge loss for Lamar Jackson. He'll never be getting paid like a top-notch quarterback like he wants to. That's what Lamar Jackson thinks. But you're taking the one scenario. Every other scenario, except for them making a Super Bowl run, does not work in Lamar Jackson's favor. And we know how hard it is to make a Super Bowl run. Bottom line is, Lamar Jackson thinks that he's one of the best quarterbacks in the league. He thinks he should get paid like it. He is not getting paid like it this year if the Ravens don't give him the contract that he wants. The Ravens now have the leverage to not give him the contract he wants, being that other teams are not going to want to do the heavy lifting for the Ravens. And then the Ravens are going to be left saying, we're not negotiating with anyone. We're not fighting with anyone to negotiate with Lamar Jackson. We're going to give him less. We're going to give him on our terms. Or he's not going to take a long-term contract. We only have to pay him $32 million. That's a bargain. $32 million for a quarterback in his sixth year that's a starting caliber quarterback in today's NFL is a bargain. The Ravens are geniuses.
What? For four games? For five games? What? It's a bargain?
You don't know he's going to get injured. I don't know what's going to happen. But when you look at it before the season, right now, you look at it before the season, you can't predict what's going to happen during the season. You have to look at things in terms of the offseason, right? And the Ravens only paying Lamar Jackson $32 million when, first of all, there was an exclusive tag on the table for $45 million, which would have made him a top five quarterback paid player in football this year, right? Now they pay him, he goes down like 10 spots by paying him the non-exclusive tag. Everyone said it was risky because, well, everyone said it was risky because teams can match it now. But now we're seeing that maybe it wasn't so risky. Maybe it's the best thing that could have ever happened to the Ravens. Let Lamar explore the market. And once he sees there's no one interested, if someone's interested, great, the Ravens get two picks anyway. If someone's interested, the Ravens don't want to match it. They get two picks anyway. No problem. We'll take the two picks. We'll move on. You know, we'll build a great roster. We already have this great roster like we always have. Fine. If teams don't want to sign him, they'll sign him to the money that they wanted him. The Ravens are doing things on their terms. And that's amazing for them. That's the bottom line. That's it.
Okay. I get it. But Lamar Jackson, there is a plus side to the Lamar Jackson side of it all at the end of the day. As long as he doesn't get hurt, everything, and he can make big money.
We'll see. We'll see. I guess we'll.
He just has to not get hurt. He just has to not get hurt.
Yes, obviously. That's the big question mark surrounding him. But I tend to think that the Ravens are not the team that are going to sign him for big money. They're not that type of franchise.
Fine.
So send someone else. Well, fine. I don't care. Let someone else screw their franchise over. I don't give a darn.
My point is that if he can figure out a way to stay healthy this year, then other teams next year will be like, oh, he stayed healthy. It's like the Geno Smith thing. Like, Geno Smith next year might be – like, I might have Seattle getting the first pick next year.
We'll see. We'll see. Seattle. That's an interesting one. Yeah, you know, I tend to think that the Seahawks should, you know, consider picking a quarterback this year. You know, even though they signed Geno Smith, Geno Smith's not the answer for the future. Geno Smith is just the answer for this year, for the next 2 years.
He had what, 8 good games?
Exactly. He only had one good season under his belt. He's been in the league for a decade now and only one good season under his belt. Who's to say he's even going to be good this year? And even if he is good this year, good half the season. But even if he is good this year and next year, then what do you do? Like, keep on drafting quarterbacks. You have a top 5 pick this year in a draft where there are 4 quarterbacks that are complete toss-ups. Nobody knows who's going to be better than the other. Why don't you just take a chance on one? Just go for it. I think the Seahawks should pick a quarterback.
Seattle's definitely drafting a quarterback this year. No question about it.
You really think so?
Yeah.
I think it would be in their best interest. I think any team that even remotely needs a quarterback, if you don't have Joe Burrow, if you don't have Josh Allen, if you don't have Patrick Mahomes, if you don't have Justin Herbert, one of those top guys, you should pick a quarterback. That's what I think. Unless there's like, I'm saying you should pick, if you have an opportunity to pick one of the top quarterbacks, you should pick them in the draft. What's a quarterback's contract in his first year? $5 million in his rookie contract? $5 million a year or something? Pfft, it's a complete bargain.
Think the Browns draft a quarterback?
See, no, the Browns have the same problem as the Cardinals. Just maybe, you know, magnified a little more because yeah, they invested so much money into Watson already. You know, I have a question, Meisty. Teams like the Browns and the Cardinals and the Broncos, who don't have a great quarterback situation, but tied everything into their quarterbacks that might turn a corner and play well, but so far haven't quite proved that. Do you think it's worth it for them to start, like, looking in a different direction?
Yeah, I mean, so here's the thing, right? So, like you said, you're in a tough spot. So at that point, you kind of just ride with it for, you know, as long as you can until it's really about the fan base. Some teams, the fan base will have a lot of patience. The Broncos, they're not just going to go and boo Russell Wilson so fast, right? If you're an Eagle, though, and your first game, you're not doing well, you're gonna get booed. So it all depends on the fan base and how much patience the fans have for a certain player. It seems like these teams like the Cardinals, the Broncos, the Browns, they've been bad teams for so long. The Broncos had a little nice stint with Peyton Manning. But other than that, I mean, these teams haven't been good in years, and the Browns have sucked forever. And the Cardinals have just been the Cardinals for years. So, you know, their fans aren't invested as heavily like in the Ravens right now. The fans are fuming with the Lamar Jackson situation. No one's happy, right? No matter what side you're on, whether you want him on the team, off the team. So to me, it's all about the fan base. So it's not okay. It's not a good situation for these teams, and every single one of them are in a situation, and they're trying to figure it out. Listen, I think out of all three of those teams, I think the Broncos are in the best situation. They brought on Sean Payton, and here's the deal. Sean Payton is guaranteed to outlast Russell Wilson in Denver, because if Russell Wilson doesn't do well, they're not going to be like, oh, it's Sean Payton's fault. No, they're just saying, no, it's Russell Wilson's fault. Russell Wilson, no one can fix you. If Sean Payton can't fix you, no one can. and out the door goes Russ Wilson. And then Sean Payton will still have another kid or another quarterback, I should say, to coach. So I think the Broncos have a bright future because they also have a very good defense. They have good receivers. If it's Russ Wilson or someone else, the Broncos will be the team that's very quick to act on a quarterback and move on from Russell Wilson. While a team like the Cardinals, they're not so fast. They're stuck in that Kyler Murray situation. And so we'll see what happens. I mean, I know Cleveland just sucks, man. They just, you know, terrible. I mean, the division is so tough. The Steelers and Ravens are constantly fighting. The Bengals all of a sudden decided that they know how to build teams. You know, so yeah, it sucks, but you ride it out.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. I think that when it comes to these teams, like, looking at the Broncos, for example, I think the Broncos are in a different situation than the Cardinals because Russell Wilson was sort of on the decline already towards the end of his Seahawks campaign, and then he came to Denver, and all of us were saying, like, wait a second, you know, this guy already had a finger injury, this guy already had his problems, and now you're going to sign him to this huge contract? He seems to be on the decline. He's, you know, he's getting a little older. He's in his 30s now. Kyler Murray's a different story. Kyler Murray just finished his rookie contract. He's only been in the league for 4 years now, right? 4 years. So at the end of the day, that's a completely different story. Kyler Murray's young. Granted, you know, you sort of lost out on a big chunk of his rookie contract because of the injuries and because of all the issues, and he hasn't necessarily played the way you wanted him to, but the Cardinals have no choice. The Broncos, on the other hand, have an older quarterback that you don't necessarily know if he's going to have a late career resurgence, so they might be, you're right, they might be quicker to move on than another team. Meister, you still there? Oh, I think we lost him. Okay, anyway, let's move on to, you don't hear.
Someone called me. I got disconnected.
Someone called you. Okay, no problem. Okay, let's move on to the Jalen Ramsey crazy stuff that happened today. Jalen Ramsey getting traded to the Dolphins. I think it was a third round pick. Let me get the details over here. Jalen Ramsey trade. Yeah, but anyway, why didn't another team do this? For what, a third round pick? And they gave him like a tight end, a 24-year-old tight end, Hunter Long. Okay, interesting. I don't know, man. Jalen Ramsey, in my opinion, he's 28 years old, okay? He's a top 10 corner in football, top 5 corner in football some years. He's even the best corner in football. Like, consistently one of the best corners in football. He's a shutdown player. You know, PFF had him graded as the 11th best corner in football last year, and then in 2021, the 4th best corner in the league. That's with the Rams, and we all know how good he was previous stints in his career. He's just been a top-notch cornerback throughout his entire career. So, like, what? Why are they only giving up this little for it? I don't understand this. Why was he, like, I guess the Rams need a clear house because I understand that, you know, the Rams sort of need a rebuild here, right? Because they invested everything into winning that Super Bowl 1 year. They invested everything into, we're going to have Von Miller, we're going to have Matthew Stafford, we're going to have OBJ. If we don't win the Super Bowl this year, we're going to be bad for 5 years. Fine. And that's what happened. They won the Super Bowl and they're not going to be good for a bunch of years. And that's what's expected as of now. But you still need a couple players to work with. So then why did the Rams trade him only for a third rounder? I feel like you could have negotiated a little more and got a second rounder for him. A third rounder? Third rounder's not that valuable, Meisty. Most third rounders are not particularly good players. Some are, but most are not. You have to play the odds here. So what does a third rounder do for you for a top five corner in football? I don't get it, man. This is a no-brainer for the Dolphins. This is a no-brainer.
Yeah, I mean, it's a no-brainer for the Dolphins, but, I mean, he is getting old, and we know that cornerbacks don't last that long. But for the Dolphins, it's genius because even if he does get hurt, or even if he can't play a game, or even if he's not at 100%, Jalen Ramsey's just presence on the field, presence on the sideline is so big. He can teach the next generation. He's such a good player to have around the locker room. He'll always, you know, have his teammates back. So I'm a big fan of him. Now, at the same time, he's old. He's getting older. His prime is definitely not the same. He's definitely not in his prime.
He's 28. He's 28. He's not old.
I know. Yeah, he's old. He's old. That's old. Come on. Stop.
Why
he's
28?
Old for a cornerback.
Why?
Because cornerback. Because he's been, because it's old. He's been playing for 10 years.
No, he hasn't been playing since he was 18. He's been playing for 8 years. He came in 2016. This will be his eighth season. It's not that old. That's a second contract. He's not that old at all. Talking about a top-notch quarterback in the prime of his career. 28 years old is the prime of a football player's career, unless they've suffered really bad injuries. He's, you know, he's had injuries before in his career, but...
Are you going to sit here and tell me that Jalen Ramsey is as good or nearly as good as he used to be?
Yeah, well, I mean, maybe not this year, but last year I think was one of the best years of his career. Last year when the Rams had that whole Super Bowl.
They were stacked up. Yeah, they were all stacked up for that.
What does it have to do with Jalen Ramsey? Jalen Ramsey himself was shutting down his side of the field. He didn't give up a lot of receptions, didn't give up a lot of yardage, went against some top-notch receivers in that Super Bowl run, and was shut down for the most part the entire season. He was one of the best corners in the league, you know, even throughout this playoff run, even it's down the stretch run of the season. He was one of the top corners in the league that year. Last year, he was also very good. Maybe took a little bit of a step down, but that's Jalen Ramsey. He's fluctuated a little, but always stayed in that top-notch tier throughout his career. What's to say that's going to change? We're talking about one of the best corners in football nowadays. Let me just say something first, okay? Corner is very difficult. It's a very difficult position to be successful in 2023 in the NFL because the rules favor the receivers tremendously. We know that when it comes to passing interference, it's much more common for a defender to be called for passing interference than for an offensive player. Why? Because they let the receivers go a little more than they do corners. Down the field, they want it to be more exciting, and I understand it, right? They want it to be more conducive for the passing game, for higher scoring games, higher scoring teams, more exciting plays, more must-see TV, and I get it, and I love it, I enjoy it very much, but the outgrowth of that is that it's very difficult to play corner in the NFL today, and you don't often have corners that are good for 10 years straight anymore, or even 7 years straight anymore. You don't have it. You have a guy here that's been consistently a top-notch corner for 7 years already, okay? 7 years. That's so hard to find. I would give up a first-rounder for this guy. This guy, it's so hard to find a guy of this caliber consistently for this good at this position. The most difficult position in the NFL to play is cornerback. You heard me. The most difficult position to play in today's NFL in 2023 is cornerback. It is so difficult to shut down receivers nowadays. Receivers are so talented, and think about the influx of receivers we have in today's NFL, Meisty. The influx of receivers coming in. Every year we have tremendous amount of receivers coming in that make an impact immediately on their teams. Think about all the rookies at receiver. Your man George Pickens, but think about all the rookies that, there were 4 or 5 rookies that had an impact on their teams last year, came in and were like top-notch number 2 receivers right away. It's so hard to play corner. You have a guy like this that's been consistently playing at this caliber? Third rounder? Please. Absolute steal of the offseason, man. Steal of the offseason. As far as I'm concerned. You're not as sold as me.
Said my part.
All right, man. What else do we have to go over before we get out of here? I don't know. Derek Carr to the Saints. Yeah, whatever.
Who the heck cares?
There's nothing to say.
Well, okay. Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's Aaron Rodgers, right? So, where will Aaron Rodgers be next year, Rockford?
So here's the thing. The Dolphins just signed Jalen Ramsey. They have a lot of good playmakers, obviously, with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Mike Gesicki. And, you know, they're trying to improve the defense, obviously, and signing big names. Bradley Chubb last year they signed. So obviously they made some big moves in the last 12 months. The Bills are a powerhouse, obviously. The Jets think that they're going to trade for 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers and win this division, Meisty? I mean, they're going to have to claw their way into the playoffs. Like, why would Aaron Rodgers want to go to New York?
They can make a wild card spot with Aaron Rodgers.
Fine, maybe. But why would Rodgers want to go to New York? First of all, who pointed this out? Colin Cowherd, maybe? I forgot. It might have been Colin Cowherd. He was saying that Rodgers has been, like, in a small town his entire career. Green Bay, he sort of controls the media, controls everything over there. Rodgers loves to have that, right? He has a lot of personality, and he loves to have personality outside of football. Now he's going to go to completely the opposite in New York, where he doesn't control nothing. Everything's out of his control, number one. Number two, he's in one of the best divisions in football that's just getting better, that has one of the best up-and-coming quarterbacks in football, one of the best rosters in football. He's going to go into that division in New York, completely different environment, completely different atmosphere, way better competition. Why would he want to do that?
Who said that? Whoever said that take should retire. That's the worst take I've ever heard.
You don't like it.
That's the worst take. Here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
So, up-and-coming team in what division? The outside the Bills. I mean, So what? You get the wild card spot? That's not you're not like a 40-year-old Aaron Rodgers gets you a wild card spot. All you're asking him is to get you to the playoffs. You haven't been able to make the playoffs in who knows how long. That's what you're asking him to do. Get you to the playoffs. Now you have a whole team. So yeah, you could. Now Aaron Rodgers and the media, the big time media, the ESPNs and the all that media. First of all, he loves no matter who it is. They've been going after him forever. Big time, small time, all media, Wisconsin media. It's not the guy's the biggest name, one of the biggest name quarterbacks in the game. Big time media has been talking to him, going after him forever.
You're saying he wouldn't mind it. He wouldn't mind it if he was in New York.
That media. Well, right. Yeah, well, that's why he probably wants to go to New York. He wants all of them to sit there and ask him.
Interesting.
Aaron, have you been jabbed? He wants them to ask. So he goes to stick his foot up on the desk. He wants that. He loves that. Oh, dude, you get to the joke. That's the worst freaking take I've ever freaking heard.
You don't like it.
Oh my God, that's hard. Like no, that's horrible. Aaron, the Jets don't have a better option.
No, they don't have a better option. I'm saying from the Jets perspective. From the Jets perspective, I have nothing wrong with it. I'm just saying from Aaron Rodgers' perspective, why doesn't he stay in the NFC? Why doesn't he stay in the NFC?
No. He doesn't want to be in the NFC anymore. The NFC's tough.
Tough? Then you're going to go with the Bills and the Dolphins? Why the heck would he do that?
The Dolphins.
The Dolphins are still a good team. They still made the playoffs last year. They're still good. I mean, by the way, the first 3 months of the year, the Dolphins, we were talking about them as like one of the best teams in football. They only lost like 3 games. They were running over everyone offensively. Then Tua got injured. Things started to sort of fall apart a little, and they struggled down the stretch. Fine. But at the end of the day, the Dolphins have a very talented roster. I consider them one of the better teams in football. One of the top 10 team in football, maybe even the top 5 team in football. I have concerns about Tua, for sure. But you have that many playmakers, Meisty. Now you add a guy like Jalen Ramsey to a defense that already has Bradley Chubb. Like, at the end of the day, this is a scary team, and that just got better, tremendously better, with the Bills team that is still really good and has the best quarterback in that division. So at the end of the day, Rodgers is still putting himself in a situation where he's going to have to play even better than he did last year. Think about it like this, Meisty. Last year, in that division, which it's not a good division. The Lions took a step up. They were a feisty, competitive team. The Vikings are not that good. They won a lot of close games. That's really why they won that division. The Bears stunk last year. At the end of the day, this was not a good division last year, and it hasn't been a good division in a long time. And he couldn't even win that division. What makes you think that he's going to win in a division? Will he have a better team in New York? He will. But is that going to balance out the fact that he's playing against much better competition? Now he's in the AFC also. If you go to the Jets, not only you have to compete against all the teams in your division, but you have to compete against all the teams in your conference. They have a very tough schedule, the Jets, next year.
Oh, where do you get these takes from?
This is my...
Have you ever watched Aaron Rodgers? This is my take.
This is my take. This is my take. I don't think it's worth it for Rodgers to go to that division. Why would he go?
So crazy. Okay. First of all, I don't know where you think that the Dolphins are a good team. They're not becoming nothing, okay? The Dolphins will be the Schmalfins, and they'll always find out. Now, he didn't want to be in the NFC because he's been there for so long. And Packers, Rocky, let me ask you this.
Okay.
Name the last time the Packers, they're like the Ravens almost when it comes to drafting receivers. But at least the Ravens try to draft receivers. The Packers don't even try. They don't even draft them.
So therefore what?
They're just like, oh, yeah. Rodgers has never had anything to help him.
Wait. Donald Driver and Greg Jennings are better than any receiver the Ravens have ever had, except for Steve Smith.
I'm talking about this past year.
Oh, this year was a disaster, 100%.
And that's why this past year was a disaster for him. Don't look at Aaron Rodgers about the Packers in problems. They had a horrible defense. They couldn't make stops, and they had no receivers for him. Christian Watson, the rookie, was his best option pretty much half most of the year, and he got hurt eventually, whatever it was.
Yeah, listen, the Rodgers' receiver situation was horrible this year, but he clearly took a dive. He's 40 years old. Like, we're used to Tom Brady just coming in at 44 years old and lighting up the league. It doesn't happen like that anymore. If quarterbacks...
But Aaron Rodgers, the Aaron Rodgers is smart because the one division he doesn't want to be in is, you want to talk about an up-and-coming division, you think the Lions won't be feisty next year again?
I'm not saying he should stay in that division. I think from the beginning of the offseason, I was saying he should have gone to the Saints. The Saints already screwed it up and signed Derek Carr.
I don't think it's much to his choice.
They said they're giving him the option. This is what they've been saying the entire time. I mean, it could be lying to us.
What I was understanding is that they were telling him that he wanted to look into the AFC stay in the AFC. If he wants to make it happen, go to the AFC.
I didn't hear that. If they told him to look into that, he can only go to the AFC. I'm not complaining as much. I still think he could have gone to the AFC South.
I don't know the details. I just know it wasn't so clear cut. Oh, to combat exactly what you say earlier, a main reason why he'd want to go to New York is exactly because of the opposite of what you said, because of the big media there, so that he could put his name in the media, so that he could constantly just stay relevant.
So that I hear. That media thing wasn't necessarily my take. I was quoting him. I thought it was an interesting take. I hear what you're saying. I tend to think that from a business perspective, it would be smarter to stay in the AFC and NFC. But if you say that the reports came out, and perhaps they're true, that they weren't allowing him to stay in the NFC, then I could hear it a little more. I could definitely hear it a little more going to the Jets. They do have a good situation there. They do have great playmakers. If they get one more receiver in there, they have a legitimate 1 and 2 next to Garrett Wilson. The defense was top 5 in football last year. You also have to remember something. Like, let's not overrate the Jets too much. Defenses fluctuate nowadays because it is an offensive league. You have to remember that. It's an offensive league, and you rarely, over the last 10 years, you've rarely had the same defense, you know, being the best defense in football 2 years straight.
They're a defense because they have two of the best cornerbacks in football. Let's go with that. It's not because some line or some bunch of a group of players playing great. No, they just have two of the most talented defensive backs in the league. Let's start with that. Now every other piece falls in as well, but let's just start with that.
Yeah, I mean, that's a factor, and it's a factor they have a great front seven. You know, Quinn Williams was an actual beast last year. They obviously upgraded, and they have potential to upgrade in the offseason with draft picks and maybe signing some players. There's a lot of good edge rushers they can even add this year. So at the end of the day, it's a very talented defense all around. Yes, I agree. Obviously, you know, the DBs are, you know, it's very difficult. I was just talking about how difficult it is to find a good cornerback in today's NFL. To have two cornerbacks at the level that the Jets have, unbelievable advantage. So, yes, in terms of situation, I do think that the Jets have a great defense, but let's pump the brakes on thinking that they're going to be this great top-notch defense 2 years in a row and thinking that they're this great team. Like, at the end of the day, they're a good team, they're a solid team. I don't think Aaron Rodgers makes them a Super Bowl contender. That's it. In that division, I don't think he makes them a Super Bowl contender. That's my opinion. So I don't think he should go to the Jets, but ultimately he probably will.
Obviously.
All right. So I think that'll do it, unless you have something else to – I don't think – I think we're at the Derek Carr to the Saints. You know, this is just a classic Saints move, Meisty. Right? I mean, the Saints, it's like – he's like a Drew Brees light. He's just a little taller, I guess, you know? He's like – it's like perfect. Bring Drew Brees in there to New Orleans. Let him mentor Derek Carr, who's already 31 or something years old. I don't even know what the Saints are trying to do. Are the Saints just trying to?
It's a good price tag. Yeah, for the price they need, they got in that. It's a good price tag. That's why.
Yeah, but this goes back to our thing. Like, do teams try to win Super Bowls, or do teams just try to remain competitive so that fans have something to be excited about week to week? Because then this is not a Super Bowl or bust move. You're not winning the Super Bowl with Derek Carr and that roster. But you can be.
But listen, let's just say this, right? It's better to be a team that's just trying to fill the seats, because technically those teams, they can go on runs. We've seen it. We've seen it happen. Those teams that they just like, oh, let's hope we get a wild card spot. Let's go on a crazy run and make a wild card spot. But like they say it like almost jokingly, and then it actually happens, and then you're like, wait, we actually just made the playoffs? And then you win a game, and then you're like the Vikings. The Vikings are like, oh yeah, let's mess around and win the division, you know? And it's like, yeah, okay, haha, Vikings. And then they're like, wait, actually we just won the division. But then like, oh, the Giants? No, we don't know how to beat them. Right? Like, what are we doing, right? So, you're right. So, at the end of the day, you know, the Saints right now are a team that, no, we're not going to win the Super Bowl, but if we can put fans in the seats and we can put the right players together, maybe we do make a playoff spot. Or Derek Carr sucks and we get, like, the top 5 pick next year and we just...
Yeah, I agree. That's what it comes down to. I think, you know, it's either we're going to be competitive. We won't win a Super Bowl, but maybe we'll be competitive enough to make the playoffs, get the fans excited, give the fans a reason to come and watch.
We all know if you make the playoffs, you got a shot. And that's it.
All right, fine. So that'll wrap it up. Our last episode, the Rocky Meisty Show, Meisty. Our last one. This is it.
Let's change the name. But yeah, I'm sorry.
This is our last episode. Right. You're right to clarify. Right. Our last episode under the name The Rocky and Meisty Show. From this point forward, we will be called... to be determined.
Stay tuned.